Welcome back, folks. Every month we make sure to spend some time with representatives from New Orleans and Company. And today we are joined by Mark Romig, Chief Marketing Officer of New Orleans and Company. And we thank you for saying welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, Newell, it's good to be with you.
Mark, we've had a lot of great things happening in the month of October. But before we jump into Taylor Swift and all that's going on, Halloween's tomorrow, and kind of curious, do we have like a Halloween tourism impact that happens here in the city?
We really do. You know, you think about the activities that kind of use Halloween as a theme, and they've been going on now for almost a month with the Crew of Boo, of course. You've got a number of fundraisers that occur utilizing the Halloween theme, like Halloween's in New Orleans, which raises money for Project Lazarus. And then while this is a Thursday night Halloween, you still have a number of people who come in because New Orleans is historically listed as one of the best places to be for Halloween itself. So, we do get a bump. I think you'll have a lot of activity, as you know, down in the restaurant industry. You see a lot of Halloween-themed lunches pop up, and I would imagine restaurants tomorrow particularly will have a lot of costumed diners.
I think I recall seeing you on the Friday before Halloween at a number of different places. That has become a really big event, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what happens is last Friday, and I would say even the Friday before last Friday, you had people in the mode of Halloween. And, of course, you know, no one does a festival like New Orleans. And so I think New Orleans embraces, the whole region actually embraces Halloween as a fun time, a family time. And last Friday, it was sort of the competition between people who were dressed in their best Taylor Swift outfit as well as their Halloween outfit.
Yeah, it's always interesting. There are a number of cities around the country that kind of relax their rules and regs and kind of adopt the New Orleans approach for Halloween night only. And it's kind of interesting how that plays out. Durango, Colorado, one of the best places to visit Halloween. It's the only day of the year they let you drink in the street. It's absolutely amazing. And they get over 100,000 people that converge on this small town. I used to hunt right outside of there during that Halloween weekend. We'd go down and visit that city, that town. It was unbelievable. But it was funny when you tell people, we do this every day in New Orleans. And they're like, what?
Yeah, people are reading our playbook. And, you know, we have, as you can tell, even this past weekend, how well the city and the region handled itself with all these visitors. It was just a very special several days in this area.
All right, let's jump into Taylor Swift. First, I got to start. Are you a Swiftie?
Yes, I am, but I did not make the concert. I was enjoying it from afar. I like her music, and particularly I like what she does from a philanthropic standpoint. You may have heard today she has made a huge donation to Second Harvest.
Absolutely. She's impacted the city in so many different ways. I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of a lot of this data. What are you seeing?
So we're looking at more than 150,000 visitors were in town. Hotels were sold out for several nights. The Armstrong International Airport hit an all-time passenger record of 32,134 on October 27th. That was through the TSA checkpoint. And that's in addition to the activity that occurred at Lakefront Airport. I was with someone yesterday who handles a lot of the flight arrangements, and he said easily there were 100 arrivals and departures over the weekend on a single day. So, I mean, you had a lot of activity, people coming in, driving in. There is a U.S. Travel Association report that said approximately $1,300 is spent by each person that comes to a Swift concert. So if you just run those numbers, we're talking a direct spend around this area of about $200 million. And that's without applying some sort of multiplier factor to get to a larger economic impact. So it was a good time. As you saw, we had really an incident-free several days. There was a certain spirit about the city in and around the city that really is, we hope that we can replicate on an often basis.
Yeah, it was, you know, I was just talking to Michael Heck about it, and I've talked to other folks about it as well, and it was really amazing the impact of it all, and how just so many generations of people that are really into that music, mothers, daughters, I saw daughters, mothers, grandmothers, you know, just going through the city. And you typically don't see that, right, with most performers.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that really affects, it's across the generations. Someone shared a video of their granddaughter from the dome. They were sitting up in maybe the 500 or 600 level, and the entire dome had broken out into a song fest, you know, singing along with Taylor Swift. And just the fact that here you had a grandmother with a granddaughter, and they were one of the, you know, 60,000 people who felt the same way that same night. And that was three nights in a row. So if we could replicate this, and I know our team is working hard to ensure that people understand that really this is a city and a region that's built to host, and we want to be able to do it. If you think about it, in a matter of 6 months, we will host the Swift Tour, prominent citywide conventions, including the National Association of Automobile Dealers in January, a college football playoff quarterfinal, Super Bowl 59, and then Mardi Gras. I mean, no other city comes close to our event schedule, and, of course, the hospitality that goes along with it.
And speaking of event schedule, we have 13,000 nurses invading the city, I think today, right?
You know, exactly. This is an interesting point. As Taylor Swift is leaving town, we have a group of 13,000 loading into the New Orleans Convention Center, the Morial Convention Center. And in addition to that, we have countless meetings in hotels across the town. You know, you may have a citywide or a large convention parked in the Morial Convention Center, but you have all of these other meetings that just generally occur in, you know, downtown hotels with their meeting space. And in fact, our sales team has booked over 1,000 meetings of all sizes in 2024. I mean, that's the bread and butter of what we do. We go out and we convince groups and associations and events to come here to the city and bring them in, and then they make their deals with the hotels and special events and attractions. But that's our focus. And in this past year, it'll be about 1,000 meetings.
Yeah, this nurses convention that comes to town is the 2024 National Magnet and Pathway to Excellence Conference. And I served on the board of East Jeff Hospital. And one of the proudest moments that I had when I was served on the board was when we achieved nurse magnet status, which not many hospitals across the country have. I think we have four or five hospitals in Louisiana that have achieved magnet designation, which is a huge accomplishment for these hospitals.
That is. And, you know, what's interesting about that, they'll come to New Orleans and then they will have their dialogue here. They will learn from each other. And good business happens in the city of New Orleans because we have the infrastructure. We have the facilities. We give this environment of not only can you come here and produce an excellent meeting and have all that sharing, but people enjoy themselves when they come here. And when they leave, you know, they're making those decisions to come back either as a single visitor or with their family, or perhaps bring another meeting here. So it pays off as the cycle continues. And that's what we are focused on.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Mark Romig, Chief Marketing Officer of New Orleans & Company. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Urquhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Mark Romig, Chief Marketing Officer of New Orleans & Company. Mark, I remember when this started, I think this is the now second year. Actually, I thought it was longer than that. NOLA MusicCon is back for the second year, October 28th through the 30th. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is actually the second year for that. And again, it's another way for us to show the nation and really the music industry around North America that New Orleans is the center of this part of our culture. And it brings together the industry. It brings together education. And again, I think as we play this out and it receives more and more awareness, it'll grow. And just as very much as the same thing that we did with NOLA by NOLA, this, I believe, is our fourth year. And it just shows us that there is interest. We do have something to market. It provides a great resource for our clubs and our musicians. And it's another way for us to celebrate, you know, why New Orleans is just such a unique location and what we have offered the rest of the world. But MusicCon, I think, is a great way for us to, again, say there's business to it, there's education to it, the artistry is there, and this is a way for us to show it off.
And legendary artists, I know you grew up in this era because you and I are close to the same age, Todd Rundgren. I don't know about you, I was a big fan of his back in the 70s. And when I saw the release that y'all sent me, I said, I hadn't heard of his name in forever.
Yeah, we might be showing our age, Newell. I think I remember what year you graduated from Jesuit. It was close to the time I graduated from Brother Martin. But again, this just shows you how not only universal this is, but it goes from generation to generation. And I think it's important for us to keep this out in front.
So, Mark, obviously, this month of October it's always been kind of like the kickoff month, you know, historically, and a lot of things have changed with a lot of the activities in the latter part of July and August and September. As we go through into the Thanksgiving holidays, what are you most excited about that's coming to the city?
Well, you know, the countdown to the Super Bowl is sort of the focus for a lot of attention. And as Michael Hecht, I'm sure, has kept you abreast, there's a lot of work going on to ensure that we have our best foot forward for the people that will be here. But what I like to look at is the fact that things like that occur for us citizens, because we're getting some things done that needed to get done. But This is the time of the year, and this weather last week kind of shows it off in a great way. This is a great time to be in New Orleans, whether you're local or you're a traveler coming into the city, because we have so much to offer to celebrate our own culture. So you're talking, as we get into the month of November, you have not only home games of Tulane and the Saints and all the celebrations that go along around with that, but you have things like Bayou Classic coming in at Thanksgiving. It's going to be another positive way for us to get some business and travel spending in our city. We go into Holidays New Orleans Style, which is our own unique celebration of the holidays in the city. And everyone knows how we kind of do that really better than anyone. We're always listed as one of the top locations for the holidays and New Year's. So a lot of effort goes into that, a lot of family parties, a lot of private parties, decorations, and people coming in to enjoy the Réveillon dinners and the concerts. And again, we are also hosting meetings. This is a good time for associations and groups to be here. In fact, we like them to be here all year round. They do. We're starting to see that, as I said earlier, we've booked over 1,000 meetings of all sizes in 2024. But, you know, we have like the Nurses in Town. We'll have National Automobile Dealers Association after the first of the year. And then, you know, we've got a quarterfinal of the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, there's something about the holidays that gets everybody excited. And then we go into the new year, and we've mentioned already what we're happening with Super Bowl.
Any things concern you in the industry? I know there's been some national kind of revelations about travel and, you know, folks kind of tightening their belts a little bit, looking for the deal, looking for value.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, ask that question, because I think our market balances out very well. They're getting, they're certainly getting a good rate for the hotel rooms. I don't see much inflation, so to speak, in our restaurant prices. I think our restaurateurs really do well in making sure they have a price point for their diners. Certainly, we have a wide variety of opportunities there for not only locals but travelers alike. We're still looking for opportunities for people to come into the industry and work and make this part of their life. and be, you know, be part of the greatest service that anyone gives in the hospitality business, and do it right here in New Orleans. So always looking for, you know, good members of team, good members of the team, whether it's a hotel, a restaurant, or attraction, or any other services that support the travel industry. But it's a concern for me. Over the next several months into the 2025, I'm thinking New Orleans is in for a very positive turn.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading a report that was put out by Luxury Link. I'm sure y'all are familiar with it, about MSY, excuse me, the airport is doing really well. And it says 14th largest amongst all mid-sized hub airports in the percentage increase that they're looking at coming up for the holiday season, which is that's good news. And it kind of, I guess, bolsters the point that you just made.
Yeah, I was thinking the airport as it's, as you know, it, the airport as we know it now opened in late 2019. And like everything else, it went through the period of the COVID restrictions. It's come out very strong with rankings each year as one of the best operations in the country. And my sense is, like I said earlier, with that many people on October 27th coming in and out of the airport, it's holding its own. I think the transportation corridor into the airport, now that we've got the flyover, is working well. You know, and the folks at the airport with the city and the industry are always looking for ways to improve the visitor experience, the traveler experience. And I think that you'll see continued improvements out there. And again, it's those people who, as we all know, who have come in and out of that airport are just thrilled with the offerings that they have available. You know, people are going out there just to eat at the airport. It's so special.
I have to tell you, we don't often say this, but we are spoiled. Our airport is easy to get to. I know you've traveled around the country. I don't know that there's an airport easier to get to than our airport.
Easy
from downtown.
Easy to get to, get out of, and also to work around inside. I mean, you've got the basic concourse layout. You've got that one TSA area. And sure, you're going to have some lines when you've got big check-ins and check-outs.
But, right, right.
It moves, and it's fun. It's a fun airport to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Romig, as always, we appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for the updates, and have a great week.
Thank you, Neil. Take care.
All righty, folks. I was Mark Romig, Chief Marketing Officer of New Orleans & Company. We'll be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the talk lines, anything that you want to talk about. Just a few days away from the election on November 5th. What are you thinking about? We'll be right back. To the talk lines, Chuck, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell, you like Todd Rundgren, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I do too, man. He was one of those. He was one of those guys that, you know, he wasn't super, super famous, you know, in like the, you know, like some of the performers back in his day. But, man, he was fantastic. He had some great stuff.
I love the acoustics of his stuff, for sure.
Really, really good stuff. And he had a certain sound. You knew it was him besides his voice,
yeah,
just the sound
absolutely.
Of his music. He did an album in 2017 called White Night, I think it was. But he did a collaboration with a bunch of, you know, really great artists, and one of them was a local musician, John Boutte, who's a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
And yeah, John Boutte is a gospel, jazz, blues singer.
Oh, I know his music, absolutely.
He did a song, and that's what he did. I mean, it's a Todd Rundgren album from 2017. I think that's the name of it, White Night. But anyway. But he did this collaboration with a bunch of people featured in it, and John Boutte did a song called "Beginning of the End," and it's got John Boutte sound, but it's also got that Todd Rundgren feel to it. You know, he wanted it to stay his, you know, he wanted it to be his part of his album, and John, you know, Boutte mixed well with it. It's a great album, and that song "Beginning of the End" has a, if you like John Boutte, it's a great, great song.
I'll have
I think
to look
like
that
the,
up.
White Night.
Yeah, White Night. I'm writing it down now because I have no memories.
look, I'm telling you, I got some good stuff. I got Joe Walsh on it, Donald Fagen from Steely Dan's on it. Darryl Hall's on it. I mean, it's really, really good.
Well, actually, Rundgren has played with Darryl Hall many times. And I don't know why that popped up the other day on something on my phone. I was seeing that. Oh, I know what it was. They were in Hawaii. I got some notice about it because I hadn't heard about Todd Rundgren in a long time. And then when I saw it again with NOLA Music on, I was like, ah, look at this.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites. He's really good.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate the heads up. I'm going to look that up because I like Mr. Boutte as well. All right, let's go to Rock. Rock, you're up. What say you?
Rock over McClaw. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rock, hello? What's going on, man? Long time no hear.
It has been. I just wanted to, I was in all those people you just had on. I was on the low side of the same industry they in. In fact, I started with a lot of guys. Saturday, Friday, and Sunday night was beautiful for this city. Everybody did well, except whoever ran the situation of transportation, closed every street. Millionaires from New York had to walk to the Hilton to get a cab. They had to go to the methadone clinic to get a limousine. It's scary. They closed everything for 2 hours. Most of the crowd was out of towners. You don't do that. The Super Bowl, and I'll do it. The Essence, the Jazz Fest. We've handled the Pope and never closed streets like they did. It's wrong.
What streets did they close?
Padres and NYU. And FBC,
oh, really?
And Canal. Nobody directed. It was just sit there for 2 hours. And they were
at what time? Because
was
I.
You like, right
I drove.
After the
I.
Show, there was no cars. No, driving, you had a shot if you were parked. Believe me, I was there every 3 nights.
I live on
Rampart.
Because I was able. I drove up Sunday, I guess, around 4:45, almost right to the dome.
Dropped
my family off. I picked them up that evening. I was between the two high-rises there, right off of Poydras. They walked out. I drove on to Poydras, picked them up, put them in the car, went right there and got on the interstate. I wasn't down by Loyola in the evening, but I didn't have any problem. Actually, I was shocked how easy it was, to be quite frank with you. And there were a lot of folks out there. Let's go to Gary. Gary, thank you, Rock, for the call. Good to hear from you. Gary, you're up. What say you?
Hello.
Yeah, Gary, go ahead.
Yes, I keep hearing about these undecided voters from around the country, and I thought it'd be a good idea just to remind them to go vote November the 6th. Get out there early it's Wednesday the 6th. Since you're undecided, that's your day. I thought it'd be a good public service to get that one out of the
epitome, way. The epitome of misinformation, right? November 6th is the day for you.
But they're undecided. Like, I believe that.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I can't wait for some day before November 6th to come and go.
I just can't comprehend anybody.
Because we wouldn't want to confuse anybody by throwing out another date out there, right?
Let me confirm it so nobody gets confused. Only to the undecided voters, November the 6th, S-I-X, 9 a.m.
A special day set aside for you as being undecided.
It's undecided voter day.
I keep hearing about these undecided voters. I hadn't met one yet. I don't know about you, Gary, but I think everyone I know in the circles that I travel in, everyone's pretty much decided. You know, whether it's D or R or whatever, they've decided.
I have a funny feeling. I used to be a councilman in Harahan, and people, you can just tell either voting for you or they're not voting for you. Well,
right.
The people I think that are saying I'm undecided, I think those are Trump people. I think. I might be wrong about this, but once again, let me confirm that date again so nobody gets it mixed up. Six for the undecided voters.
And the polls open at 9, not 6.
That's exactly correct.
All right, Gary, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers. Yeah, Coleman, go ahead.
I don't think it's necessary that voters are undecided about who they want to vote for. I think they're undecided on whether or not they want to vote because they don't have confidence in any of the because that's where I'm at, right? I'm more of a reluctant voter. It's like, do I really want to pull the trigger for any of the top two candidates or should I go third party? So it's not necessarily I'm undecided as far as which candidate I want to vote for. I'm undecided whether or not I should vote because I know that I'm whether going third want- party. So I know the candidate is not going to win. So should I even waste my time?
Whether you want to participate in the exercise is where you're saying that people are undecided. And I don't disagree. I think we're going to be surprised by how many people. And I think we're going to see a bunch of different things happen, right? A couple of dynamics converge. I think we'll see more voters vote that haven't historically voted. And we'll see some of the chronics and near chronic voters, some of them stay home because they fall into the category that you just described. They don't like any of the choices. In fact, I said that, as you recall, Coleman, many, many months ago. It's interesting that in this country, this is where we end up, right? And where you have a growing number of people that have chronically voted, and they're like, I don't feel good about this either way, right? And that's kind of a dangerous situation and an experience you don't want to see repeated in this country many times for certain. All right, we got to get to John. Let's go to John in Metairie. John, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, sir.
I got an issue with, you know, I'm a Lyft driver, and you know, a lot of passengers that I picked up over the weekend were complaining about the price gouging from the hotels. I mean, shouldn't there be some kind of law with an event like this that they can only raise their prices so much? I mean, stop and think about it. If the prices weren't so high on the hotels, people would have more money to spend around the city.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's supply and demand. I mean, that's what drives pricing in everything that you do. What I found interesting was parking. You know, because the demand is always there and the supply never meets the demand of parking. And what I saw were $100 parking near the dome, which I thought is a little bit more ridiculous in that respect. But, you know, it's the impact of supply and demand, people coming in, and obviously in one respect, folks don't like it, but in another respect, it kind of makes the year for a lot of folks here. And we'll talk more about that when we come back out of the break, because I've had several texts of, where's the money go? Where's the money go? And we'll talk about that when we return. Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Reminiscing a little bit, a little run grin. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you? I was just, I love your show. I'm listening to everything you're saying. I drive a Lyft and an Uber. And I wish Michael Heck and all the other big timers that book all the conventions and all, and I hope that they can get to Uber and Lyft, about what they pay in the drivers. Because we're the movers and the shakers. And we're bringing these people from the airport to the airport, to the restaurants, to the venues. And Lyft and Uber are paying the drivers $3, $4, $5 a trip. And you spend that much money in gas waiting to bring somebody. And then when they're gouging and they're charging people $65 to come from Duncan Plaza to the Royal Sonesta on Canal Street, charge them $65, and they want to give the drivers $8 and $10, and it takes you 20 minutes to get there. It's just something that I wanted to bring up, because, you know, a black eye would be bad if all these drivers got together and said, guess what, we're not going to do nothing, we're going to park, and it would be bad. But we're getting shafted by the prices that Uber and Lyft charge people and what we get. And we're burning our gas up, ruining our cars, beating our cars up on the streets, and nobody is even listening.
Do you find that they're what do they call that when in the high
surcharge?
Yeah, when it's at the busy time of the day, there's a term of art that Uber uses and Lyft. I can't remember.
They use surcharging. Surcharging is one of them.
So
surcharging could be thing for them.
So when there's a high demand for this, I mean, obviously they increase their rate, but you're not. What you're saying is y'all not appreciably going up, right? I mean, because that Uber ride from Duncan Plaza to, you know, the hotel you mentioned, I mean, it
right.
can't be, you know, on an off day, it can't be much at all, right?
No, during the day, on a regular basis, even on a regular basis. And I drove a cab for 25 years, so I know how much it costs to get from point A to point B. But, I mean, when you look at the breakdown of how much Uber and Lyft charge a customer and how much you get, you're getting less than 50% of what they're charging a customer, mm-hmm. and you're doing the work and the wear and tear and everything else. And when we're busy like we were this past weekend, and everybody's hoop-hollering about how much money that they did, I worked all 3 days working like a nut, driving in traffic, and I might have made $600, which ain't a mm-hmm. lot of money for what I did. I probably spent $100 in gas.
Right,
and it's just
right.
something out there. I just think that nobody's looking out. I don't know how much money the city makes.
Steve, are there cities that actually have stepped in? I seem to recall reading something about some cities stepping in and setting.
But they have. Know. I think New York did. I think Frisco did.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the problem they have here, and I was here, I drove a cab, like I said, for 25 years. We had 1,650 cabs at one time in this city. Right now, we might have 800 cabs in this whole city.
Right.
And
right.
out of that 800 cabs, or six, probably 800, but out of that, you have about 200 of them that are sitting around at the airport waiting to bring people in and out. And then you have another 100 or so sitting around the hotels in the city that are waiting to take people from the hotels to the airport. But they're making their money. Uber and Lyft, when they first came in, they was under, going under the cab business to get all the customers. And now they're charging just as much as a cab does, but the driver. My complaint is what they give to the driver. And
right,
I just wish
right.
that they could step in and help with Uber and Lyft. They don't listen to the drivers. We make comments. They ask you for your opinion on how to help you, to drive and how to make more money. But they don't listen to our input. And they have no clue about the traffic situation in New Orleans. They don't know when the street's blocked. They don't know when energy's got a street tore up. And that could be like a pop-up truck around the city. That could be any minute that they have a street closed. And you have to sit in traffic or detour and go around for the same $4 or $3.50 that they're giving you. It's just so unfair. And
yeah.
I'm hoping that somebody is listening.
Well, I'll start asking that question. I mean, it's a legitimate question, and we'll see if we can't get some answers for you. Best of luck to you, Steve. Thank you so much for calling in. Got a couple of texts of people asking, can you find out where all the money goes? It seems to me we have a lot of money coming in, not sure where it's going. So, you know, when we have big events like this Taylor Swift event that comes in, there are hotel motel taxes that are charged on people that come in from out of town and stay in the hotels. There's general sales and use taxes that are paid, whether you're at a restaurant or you're buying liquor or any of the other particular services that are a taxable transaction. And there's a percentage of that that goes to the state and a percentage of that that goes to the city. And then there's business income. And that's where the lion's share of this goes. So what it really means to the city, especially a city this size, right, is that we actually have big city offerings here in New Orleans. The number of restaurants, the quality of the restaurants, our hotels, the quality of our hotels, a lot of what we offer here, the frequency of what is offered from entertainment and things of that nature that you don't see in other cities similarly sized to this city. So that business income, and we have big events like this, really helps out these unique restaurants, for example, that we have and can take advantage of and enjoy. And when they have, you know, folks, money that are coming to the city, it's a new wallet to the city, it's new money to the city, that can make or break some of these businesses. And, you know, when you have a situation like Taylor Swift for 3 days, I mean, a lot of these restaurants have really been behind the eight ball. In fact, we talked with folks from the Louisiana Restaurant Association the other day, but going back to a conversation that we had in July, where a good percentage of restaurants, maybe more than half, had yet to make a nickel that year. They were still trying, you know, to catch up. And as we get into September, October, November is where really when it's the make or break for them. So when you have a unique event like this, it really puts them in a position of being over the top. I mean, are they making gobs and boatloads of money? No, not really. But the reality is it can make their year. And the other thing about this, too, is it keeps a lot of people here gainfully employed. And that's a key ingredient. And for every dollar that's spent here, there's a turnover effect. It used to be a dollar would turn over in a microeconomy 7 times. I don't know what the most recent studies show. And that's a relatively old study that I'm quoting from. And I'll try and figure out and read some new stuff. But that's the kind of impact that you're looking for and you see. All right, I think Scoot's back today. Ian has sat in for him for a couple of days, and he'll have a lot coming your way, I'm certain, as we get closer and closer to the election. And, again, we will see you guys again in the morning. We got to talk a little bit about Halloween tourism here and the impact as well. Tomorrow's the big day for kids, and hope everyone has a safe one. And we'll be with you again in the morning.